As far as drought and famine are concerned, right now we are talking about the central and southern regions of Somalia. But we shouldn't forget that the northern parts of Somalia, which is Somaliland and Puntland, they can get into the same situation anytime, because Somalia has a very, very fragile ecosystem, one of the most vulnerable ecosystems. It's prone to droughts and floods, and the natural disasters can happen any year in any part of the country.
However, this part used to be what you said, a breadbasket. How is it that we have that recurrent situation, recurrent crisis?
I think this is a very important question, because it could be really supplying food for the whole of Somalia, and even some decades ago it supplied the quality banana for Europe. The problem is very complex, and we cannot just handle the problem as it is now. We cannot find a short-term solution which lasts longer, which solves the problem. It's like in medical practice, having a proper diagnosis is important to find the proper remedy for the sickness. And I think the remedy, and at least the mitigation of the problem, should be approached from a double approach: short-term help to help the people to survive, at the same time sustainable, looking for sustainable development solutions.
But before doing that, you need to have an assessment of what is at hand. What resources do that country have?
Definitely, we want to manage our Somali partners. They want to manage natural resources within natural resources. They want to manage water and land resources. Without knowing what to manage, it's impossible to manage. Unfortunately, during the past 20 years, practically, I don't say all, but a very large percentage of the previously existing water and land-related information was lost because of the political problems, because of vandalism, and not just the information infrastructure was also lost. But to start the process again, I think we need information.
How do you do that? What can be put in place? What mechanisms do we have to evaluate, to assess the resources at hand, to know them?
Everybody agrees, both in FAO and in the Somali ministries and in our Somali partners, that we need to make evidence-based decisions. Haphazard, not well-established decisions don't give sustainable solutions. To have evidence-based decisions, we need proper information. To have proper information, we need data. We need measurements. We need to know what and where the natural resources are to be found. To have these data, we need monitoring systems, natural resources, basic monitoring systems. It's almost unbelievable that for 10, 15 years, there was not a single rainfall measurement done in Somalia, in a country where livelihood depends basically on rainfall and agriculture. So we, in Salim, we started re-establishing the basic monitoring systems, the basic rainfall observation system, basic surface water and groundwater monitoring systems. I think we made good progress together with our local partners, but I would like to emphasize that this needs to be continued, and not totally from external sources, not with external experts, but with local people, local capacity building, local institutions that are able to continue this work.
And talking about the mechanisms and systems, how about this that you work for, the Somalia Water and Land Information Management? When was it created? Does it work? What needs to be done to make it more efficient?
Yeah, the first ideas were born quite a long time ago. It was 2001. And we have to give credit to the European Union for that, because it was basically a donor idea, realizing that whatever government is going to be established in the future, they will need information on natural resources. So it started very slowly. Full-blown, it started operating in 2004. So we are now in the fourth phase of Salim, and developing databases, information management systems. I would say, now we can say in past tense, this a lot of that basic information has already been established. What we are concentrating now is capacity building of the local people, local experts, disseminating the information to existing and, let's say, non-existing institutions, because this is one of the biggest problems in those parts, even those parts of Somalia which are functional, which is Somaliland and Puntland. A critical shortage of experts, very low level of staffing in the ministries, and basically no support institutions to government. There are several aspects we have to consider. Number one is just the basic information, what is available, basic monitoring systems, how things are developing. For instance, land degradation. One of the biggest problems in Somalia is the fragile ecosystem, very vulnerable ecosystem. It's not resistant to land degradation. At the same time, people are doing activities which are really contributing very, very intensively to the land degradation, like tree cutting. A tree takes 20, 30 years to grow. To chop it down takes about 20, 30 minutes. And if it is done in a renewable way, that would be okay, but it's not done in a renewable way. It's a very complex procedure. Again, people are critically short of cash, so they cut down anything to burn charcoal and get some money for survival for the next day. But this goes with all kinds of other land degradation types. Having cut down the trees, the soil is exposed to intensive rainfalls, the soil is washed away, and there is no way to get the soil back from the ocean once it gets there. The bare lands are much more prone to invasive species, so plant degradation also takes place. And these invasive species, they look green in NDVI analysis, but they are not palatable, so they don't serve much purpose.
At the same time, we do have, in that part, southwest, rivers, you have the sea along. What are the fishery resources? How come the fishery resources are not used at their maximum?
This comes back to cultural issues, and that's why in our previous discussions I said that the present famine is a complex result of a complex process. Now, one input in this is that culturally Somali people, they don't eat fish. They have 3,300 kilometer shoreline. There are many, many international big fishing companies that do fishing in outer seas, but the Somali people who are starving to death, they don't benefit from this. So this is one of the cultural issues.
However, if they don't eat fish, they can benefit from the benefits owned by the big companies. I say, what are the returns? I mean, that's part of the whole structural environment, that it's not there. They yeah. own the resources in yeah. any case.
Yeah, in principle, they own the resources, but they are not in full control of them. They are very, very much understaffed, and they have no institutions. Even if there is a good intention to reinforce the regulations of marine control, fishing control, it's very difficult. FAO is trying to move into this direction now. Slowly, we hope that we will be able to speed up and help protecting the marine resources and also help benefiting the Somali people from this natural resource.
Zoltan Valid, as Chief Technical Advisor of the Somalia Water and Land Information Management, what would be your major advice to more efficiency of the investment?
The good intention is always there. The various donors have invested in agriculture, in livestock. There is little information coming back from the efficiency of the investments. That's why we are trying in FAO Somalia, we are trying to establish new ways how to monitor the efficiency. And there are definitely several ways. In areas which are not accessible because of the fighting, we are trying to establish remote sensing-based monitoring systems. On the one hand, to better plan the projects, better plan what is needed to be rehabilitated, not based on estimations, but if possible on facts, setting up priorities for canal rehabilitations. Again, this can be done by remote sensing, supported by a bit of fieldwork, but basically on remote sensing, monitoring of the investment, which is for a canal rehabilitation. The purpose is not just rehabilitate the canal, but increase production. So to see if the water really gets to the fields, if the water is used efficiently, so agricultural production is established. And this is the priority of the donors. They give money, they give funds to have the results, more food. And FAO, together with Svalim now, including Svalim as part of FAO, we are trying to move into this direction. And I think the donors are quite happy with the direction we have taken.
And the last question, Zoltan, and thank you for this interview. If a journalist would ask you, give me a good reason to talk about what FAO is doing, either in the sub-region or in Somalia, what would that be?
FAO has the best field network among all implementing agencies in Somalia. We have relations and contacts, daily contacts with all the ministries, many, many NGOs. FAO has the technical background and backup, both from Rome and in the field, to know what to do. And this is maybe the, besides getting the information, this is the other basic pillar that we should establish on capacity building of the local people. Most experts, brilliant Somali experts, work all over the world in various countries, because they left the country 10, 20 years ago because of the armed conflicts. So now Somalia is left with a professional gap. And the existing experts who are still there, they are in their 50s, 60s. There is a huge age gap in the professional expert range between 20 and 40. And really, these people, we should find a way how to either to bring them back or how to develop, how to train a new generation of experts.
Zoltan Balint, thank you.
Thank you very much.